Sometimes life serves us up a feast that wasn't what we had in mind for ourselves. Times when there's way more bitter than sweet. My years in the Dominican Republic ended in a nasty motorcycle crash. And I got flown to Montreal, where I spent a year in the accident ward of a hospital trying unsuccessfully to save a foot that had got almost ripped off in the crash. But if we can stay alive during these hard times, there's always something wonderful that goes on around us. The days and months in the accident ward drifted by in a haze of pain and infection and drugs. But once in a while, something would happen to rekindle my joy in living. This story is about an afternoon visit from a faith healer. The first month in the hospital, I shared a room with two other guys. One of them was crazy in the bed next to me. He kept getting drunk on the vodka his wife smuggled into him. And then with his cigarette lighter, he'd burn through the ropes that were holding his leg up in traction, and the leg would fall and fracture again. The surgeons got really pissed off after they set it for the third time. Phil was my other roommate across the way. He was in with a broken ankle. He had a laugh that could chase the gloom out of a morgue, and some of his ideas were so exciting they just stopped time in its tracks. From the moment I met him, I knew we'd be friends for life. And we were, too. But while he was concentrating on healing his ankle, cancer snuck up and took him from behind. But we had some good times in that hospital room. And it's not often in my life I've made a friend like that. God bless you, my child! What? I am sent to you by the Lord. I opened my eyes and saw a strange, dumpy woman standing beside my bed. She had a Bible in one hand and the look of a zealot in her eye. I am Wilbur Johnson's mother. He called from the Dominican Republic to say a friend in need was alone in Montreal, and I have come to ease your burden. Oh boy, I said, half to myself. Mrs. Johnson had recently found the faith, and it was so powerful that neither she nor the meeting hall could hold it in. And so she'd come to the hospital to lay her hands on me and effect a cure through prayer. Seemed all right with me. I figured I needed all the help I could get. So I said, go ahead and pray. But there was a catch. Not only did she have to believe, but I had to believe too. Now, faith is a funny thing. It's not so hard to believe after the miracle happens. But beforehand, that's a different deal. I mean, you can want to believe, and you can even pretend to yourself that you do believe. But when it gets right down to it, you either believe or you don't. I didn't. I'm sorry, I told her, I can't. It's not true. Ah, but, Mrs. Johnson, I believe that you believe you can heal me. Yes, that's nice, she said. But it's not good enough for God. You must testify that you believe he can heal you using my hands as his tools. I can't, I told her. It's not true. Oh, my son, just say those blessed words, I believe. And you will be made whole. You will walk out of here without your crutches. I can't. She decided to try anyway. She laid her hands on my leg and started hollering for the Lord to bring down his love and heal this poor sinner, hook his foot back on. She was hollering and crying and raising a real ruckus in the room. But nothing happened. I was one of those of little faith. I was deep in pain at the time and pretty far gone in the Demerol they were shooting into me every few hours. I was, in fact, riding pretty loose in my slippers. But this was juicy stuff, and I was starting to really enjoy it. Phil, across the room, he was having a good time too. He was a devout atheist. And he was laughing so hard, flopping around in his bed over there. He was almost falling out onto the floor. But he didn't want to offend Mrs. Johnson. And so he kept trying to hide behind this little hanky, at the same time as wiping the tears out of his eyes. My nurse, on the other hand, was not amused. She kept marching down on the other side of my bed saying, "Madame, please, I must insist that you stop. This is not acceptable. Please stop." This was her hospital. I was her patient. And this holy roller faith healing stuff was way too much for her to deal with. But Mrs. Johnson didn't stop. She kept hollering, "Lord, bring down your love. Save him, Lord. Save him. Make him whole." Before long, things got out of control. My nurse was getting frantic. And Phil was laughing so hard over there, he was starting to shake the steel pins loose from his ankle. Above all, Mrs. Johnson was boiling over with fervor. She'd given up on my leg, and having fetched a tambourine out of her bag, was wanging it against the end of my bed, waving her other hand over her head for glory and belting out the tune, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go." On the third Jesus, all hell broke loose in the bed next to me. My lunatic neighbor, swacked out yet again on vodka, had burnt through his ropes and hollering, "Praise God, I'm healed," had leapt out of bed to dance. He landed on his bad leg, fracturing it for the fourth time, and collapsed on the floor where he lay howling and foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Quite a crowd had gathered by now. Nurses, orderlies, and even other patients had come in to watch the show. And the head nurse noticing that activity had ground to a halt out in the corridor, had come in to investigate. She didn't like what she discovered. She told Mrs. Johnson to either put away her Bible or get out. The mortal soul can only bear so much of the holy fire. The passion that had consumed her was now burnt down to a glowing bed of coals. So Mrs. Johnson and I edged close together to warm ourselves by the embers and talk as the slow, sleepy afternoon slipped away. Thank you. You guys have been great.